My name is Shelly Tuck. I've struggled with this part so much of what I'm going to say to y'all about who I am. I have seven children. I've been coming to the prayer advances in between children since about 2004. They have shaped my life. They have I've made some really big decisions for God at prayer advances, and been by the grace of God, I've been able to follow through with those decisions. I'm from Virginia. I've lived here all my life. I live in a little town of Rocky Mount, about 30, 40 minutes south of here. I'm married. I've been married almost 18 years. My husband, he's here, from here. He's been here all his life, and he is, it's just one of him. He has no brothers and sisters, and so having seven children has been an adjustment for him, and I'm thankful that he has been obedient to God's calling. Actually, I'm just going to put a little plug in for the couples prayer advance. If you can find time, and if you're able, do it. It's very good. It puts you and your husband at the same place with God at the same time. You come home, you know, on fire together. You hear the same word spoken. And when I come home, I'm just like, honey, blah, 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 let me tell you. And this person said this. And oh, I just learned this. And he is like, I have been here with six children. We are hungry. He told me this morning, he's like, we are almost out of food. And I was like, I have to talk this morning. I don't know what you want me to do. I just figure it out. They have McDonald's. I mean, anyway, it's a good thing. At a couple's prayer advance, my husband, we'd actually had a vasectomy, and the Lord really spoke to us and told us that he wanted to plant our family, and so God shows up there too. If that tells you, it might discourage you. You're like, I got enough. I don't want to do anything. He might ask you to do something really big, but it's been really cool, really awesome. And I just mostly, out of anything, I want you ladies to know that that I love the Lord, and I want that to come out of me. I want you to see that it's an awesome, awesome journey to give yourself to him and let him mold you and shape you, and it's not easy. It's not easy. It's some days where I am on my face, but the blessings are just, they're awesome. So I told you guys, ladies, that we're here early. I'm going to cut the lights off. We have a lamp because I did the slideshow, and my pridefulness really wants you to see it. I'm really sorry. I prayed about it, and God says it's okay that you see this because I prepared really hard for this slideshow. Okay, so when preparing for this, I came across a blog on the internet that said, all women are not mothers by the simple definition, but all women are called to mother. So it's going to be a little off, but you can get the general idea. So this is why having wisdom as a mother, godly wisdom, is so important. Women, you are called to mother this nation. As we learn in Psalm 78:4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the next generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. As we've all been blessed with different gifts, we will be guided to come alongside of those who we are to mother differently. Some will mother their own natural birth children. Others will adopt a mother. And others will bear no children of their own, but will be called to mother a young woman in her church whose family lives hours away or who has grown close to her by Christ's leading. Wherever you are placed on this earth, God has placed you somewhere to reach out with your motherly instincts and show Jesus. So, I've told you that we are called to be mothers, all of us. What do we do with that? How do we please God with that? How do we strive to be a godly mother and a wise mother? I'm going to start by saying that godly wisdom as a mother can seem impossible to me some days. After chatting with any of my children, you will find very quickly that I am nowhere near perfect when it comes to having it all right as a mother. I can honestly say that I struggle, and I would not be giving God glory if I thought by any means that I could just give you a step-by-step process to make you a wise mother who always said and did the thing that would be perfect. But I can say to you, ladies, without a doubt, that with Jesus, you can have wisdom, and you can press on to be a godly mother who speaks wisdom into those she spends her time with. With Jesus, there is strength provided that gives you a willingness to seek more of Him and be filled with His wisdom. And as you sit and willingly give all of your failures, all of your desires, and all of your heart at the feet of Jesus, He will draw unto you and you will find strength. Many times we're asked to put forth our best mothering when we are tired, when we want to be selfish, and when our faith is weak. But with Jesus, we are reminded in Ephesians 3:16 that He will grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. In order to be given strength, I must admit that I am weak. In order to be a wise woman, I must be willing to be emptied of myself. Without being empty, I only pour me into my children and those who are around me. Wisdom requires mothers to pour Jesus into others by being emptied of themselves and allowing Jesus to fill them, which will then overflow into others. In Ephesians 3, Paul is praying and he is pleading with God, "Oh, that you would know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Ladies, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." Paul is assuring us that God is able if we are willing. He will fill us and He will give us strength. Today, I am honestly a little saddened that many women have given up their calling to mother. The I Must Now movement has created less time to mother and more of a need to bring in a bigger income or give more time to me. I think we must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit when nudged to offer our mothering skills to our own children or to someone that God is leading us to reach out to. Oftentimes when I meet someone for the first time or when our entire family is in the grocery store, a woman will say, "Are all these children yours?" I know that the next thing that comes out of their mouth is not meant. They don't mean what they say, but they'll say, "I can hardly stand the two I have. I could never have that many children. I would be crazy." God's truth reminds us that we are made and prepared to mother. Whether we have been given the task to reach out to one or ten with our mothering, I am reassured by 2 Corinthians 9:8 that God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. The truth is that some days I am tempted to say, "You deserve more time to yourself, Shelley. I can't handle this, Lord. It's too much." I know that this temptation does not just come to mothers of many children. It comes to you women who have been a mother by mentoring. You're a mother of one child. You have a trying child. or just you have no children at home at all, you're just a wife and a mother, or just a woman. I know that there are valleys and sometimes failures, but believe me, women of God, you are right where you are meant to be when you are trusting and letting Him lead you to mother others. Not only will God give you strength, as we have talked about, I've said, but God will give you joy. Now, I want to say this again because I feel like this is where we fall the quickest. I want you to be encouraged, ladies. If trusted at His word, Jesus can and will give you joy in your mothering. Scripture tells us in Psalms 5:11, but let those who put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful unto Thee. This calling of women to mother is without a doubt a joyful journey. But ladies, I know that it's not easy to be a mother who steps forth in wisdom. You must be willing to be on your knees in prayer. You must be willing to be 100% sold out to a Heavenly Father who can lead, who can guide, and who can direct. And lastly, you must be willing to love the unlovable. Because our children and women underneath us are sometimes very unlovable. All right, so all of you that don't believe that there is joy in mothering, I want you to look at this picture. All right, this is not my child, but it could be my child very easily. A friend of mine sent this to me one day, and I can just relate to this picture so much. So when I need a laugh in my day, I pull it up, and I thank God that little ones are funny. Even when they're doing something that's not so funny, when you're the one going, get up here, eat your dinner now. Everybody's looking at us in the restaurant. It helps me to just take a breath. And in time, I will be able to look back and laugh at these situations. Now, this next picture, this is not one of my biological children and his family, but his family is a part of my family. I first met Jalen and his mom and sister and some more of their extended family when my son began playing Sandlot football about 8 years ago. This family has grown close to ours, and through coaching and spectating, my husband Jamie and I have been able to talk about Jesus to Jalen and his family. After Sunday school a few weeks ago, Jalen decided that he wanted to accept Jesus. Sunday, March the 3rd, Jalen was baptized at our church, and I cannot tell you, ladies, how much joy that brought to my heart. And the story gets even better, and she's probably going to get me, but I'm going to take it. His sister's here with us, and last night she accepted Jesus as her Savior as well. So, I've talked about how God will give you strength and how He promises to give us joy in our mothering. But how do we please Him with our mothering? And what are some wise truths to follow? Each truth that I will give you today has come from my journey with Jesus. He has been so faithful to walk alongside of me as I seek Him. I fail often, but I have learned to get back up and be shown again what it is that He wants me to learn. I have so much work to still do, but I am hopeful that some of these things that I've been taught by my circumstances may help some of you in your own journey. So I began my journey of mothering in 2001. I discovered that God had blessed our family with a daughter. Now my journey began separated from God. I chose to walk by the desires of the flesh, and as a consequence, a child out of wedlock was conceived. Thankfully, and I truly mean with all of my heart, thankfully, God chose to reach down into my life and remove the blinders. He brought both myself and my husband into a relationship with Him, and it began with the birth of Haley, our first daughter. Haley was born February 25th, 2002, and she was born healthy and seemed to progress as a normal child would, as a normal infant would. When she was 8 months old, I was giving her a bath, and I noticed a lump in her back. And so I went to the pediatrician, and after being reassured, I worked at the time, and all the ladies there were like, "I'm sure it's nothing." And I was really young, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm sure it's nothing." And so we went to the pediatrician, and then, you know, we're at a consult with a pediatric surgeon, and several tests, and a five-hour surgery to remove two golf ball-sized tumors that were pressing against her spine and running like fingers up through her spinal cord. Haley was diagnosed with stage 4 neuroblastoma cancer. It was December 27th, and after only 15 months of becoming a wife, 10 months of being a mom, and 2 days being shy of 21 years old, the Lord brought a valley to give me the opportunity to serve Him faithfully. This valley allowed God to show me the most important truth that I live my life by today. It was only by believing in God, believing God's truths, and being willing to press on that I was able to be filled with His strength and come through this valley. It was an important lesson learned from the Father. Now, please know that when I say lesson learned, I don't mean perfection. I only mean that through God's grace, I have been able to gain wisdom from His guidance, and that when I fall or I'm tempted to believe a lie dealing with this same circumstance, I can remind myself of the truth that He has already proved to be so faithful to in my life and through Scripture. So from God's Word, I found these Scriptures during that valley. Numbers 10:10. "Also in the days of your gladness and in your solemn days and in the beginnings of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God." Now I want to look at the end of that verse first, and then we'll come back to the beginning. The ending says that I am the Lord your God. Ladies, without believing that the Lord is your God, you can't move forward. Wisdom will be man-made, and you will not be, it will not be flowing from the true source. Until you personally accept Jesus and the work He has done for you on the cross, your mothering will not be wise. This is where God brought me first. Shelley, do you personally accept that I have done this for you? Are you walking as if I am the Lord, your God? Even though I was living by the flesh, as I spoke of, I knew who God was. I had attended church my entire life. My great-grandparents had donated the land and helped build the church that I attended each Sunday until I was about 16 years old. I had been baptized when I was 12. But I did not accept Him truly, and I was not willing to let Him be the Lord of my life until I reached this trial. Secondly, you must believe God's truths. Psalm 18:30 confirms, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to those that trust in Him." Now, a buckler is a portable shield that surrounded the whole person. Some translations even use shield instead of buckler. I think that it's important to point out that a buckler is a particular type of shield. It's portable. So here it's saying that God will move with you, ladies. Also, a buckler was a type of shield that it surrounded the entire body. For those of you that trust in Jesus, He will move with you and He will protect your entirety. God's word is full of truths. For me, in this circumstance, God showed me over and over that He was in control, that He was a buckler to me. The part that must be done on our side is to trust. God is a buckler to those that trust in Him. Finally, ladies, you must be willing to press on. God was faithful to give me time to weep. He let me rest in my weariness for a time. However, there came a time where I had to rise. I had to leave my burden at His feet, and I had to walk forward as His light just directed enough for each step. I had to press on, and I had to attend to Haley and her needs. I also had to press on and be a wife to my husband. It was truly something amazing that I am so thankful to have felt, that God was my buckler and I trusted in Him. He allowed weeping for the night, but He did send joy in our hearts even during the valley. And He reminded me, as we look back now to Numbers 10:10, we look back at the beginning of that scripture, that I must not be discouraged, that in the days of my gladness and in my solemn days, I must rise, I must present my offerings and my sacrifices to the God whose way is perfect. Now, my daughter was declared in remission in 2008. And ladies, God brought joy to my heart again. And our family continued to grow. So by 2010, there are now five of us. And with more children, God began bringing to mind something that I realized He had been preparing me for since I was a really young girl. All of my life, I've been told stories of my great-grandmother Beulah. I love to hear these stories. And even though she died before I was born, I can tell you countless characteristics of Beulah in detail. Beulah was not everyone's favorite. She was actually quite a rule follower, and whatever rules she came up with were expected to be followed by everyone that passed her way. I mean, every kid, every adult, every pastor, everyone. I have a picture of Beulah. I wish I had it for you ladies. We're in the process of moving, and all my stuff's packed up. I couldn't find it, but I have a picture of Beulah at the groundbreaking ceremony for a portion of the church that I grew up in, and there are men standing around this lady, and she's got this shovel, and she's got her foot up on the shovel, like she's getting ready to break ground for the start of the job. And there's Beulah, this little old lady. She's real tiny, and she's got her church dress on and her hat on. And I wondered, like, did they just give her the shovel right away because they knew she was probably going to come in and be like, I'm taking the shovel, you know, it's mine, I'm not. Or did she come in and take it from one of the men and be like, okay, look, just y'all gather around me, I got this, because she was that kind of lady. But even though a lot of her ways were too pressing, I learned structure and discipline from the stories of her life. She was very organized. She was very tidy. Her routine was very much the same every day. But most importantly, she did love Jesus. Even though her strict attitude and take charge personality were something to be worked on, I found that many of her ways were important for me to carry on. I found that in our large household, it runs much smoother, and my mothering is much more effective when we have order, when we have structure, and when we have discipline. We are given direction from 1 Corinthians 14:40. It says, but all things should be done decently and in order. Everyone, including children, perform better when they know what to expect. Keeping some sort of schedule and expectations for each day allows you to rule out certain attitudes due to hunger, due to tiredness, and even sickness. my family loves a weekly chart that shows what is planned for each day and especially what we are going to eat. It helps my day run smoother. It helps the children know what to expect. On the days that I don't have the schedule filled out, this is what I hear. Mom, what are we going to do today? Mom, what are we going to eat? What are you fixing? Mom, what are we going to do today? So this can apply to you moms who are coming alongside of someone to mentor as well. When meeting and coming alongside, it's good to have an idea of where you want to end up. What are your goals of pouring into this person? Each day or visit does not have to have a strict minute-by-minute plan, but being prepared is a must. To be honest, we're all affected when we're off schedule and off of routine. When we don't know what to expect, our attitudes are quick to adjust. And sometimes this adjustment is not appropriate. So by keeping order and structure in our lives, we can more quickly detect what actions require discipline, and then what attitudes are stemming from believing a lie as opposed to what attitudes can be quickly fixed by a nap or a meal. And that's of all ages, ladies, and our husbands too. So that brings us to discipline. Discipline is important for a house to run smooth. It is taught to us by the Father himself. Hebrews 12, 6 and 11 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." As we look to Jesus for our example, we are reminded that because his love for us is so great, he disciplines. We must be willing to love those we come alongside of and even our children enough to discipline. Now, everyone's discipline plan will differ. It will even change from season to season. However, whatever you decide on, it must be stuck to. There is not much room to waver, especially when we're talking about younger children, because they will see weaknesses and they will take advantage. Trust me, every one of you ladies probably know that have children that when they see a hole in the fence, they will spy it out. They will find it. So before discipline is commanded out, you must seek God's directions and guidelines for your family. Pray that God will direct what disciplines you set up in your household, not my household, and for your mothering. My plan may not work for you. Your plan may not work for me. Just remember that. Don't compare yourselves, ladies, to somebody else. You seek God's direction. So this next truth grows hand in hand with order, structure, and discipline. It is love. Without love, your order, your structure, and your discipline will be fruitless. You will hurt the ones you intend to help, and your understanding of who God is will at best be misguided. By 2012, I had four children. I ran a small daycare in our basement. I homeschooled our two eldest children, and I was the secretary for our growing business. Each day I found myself being pulled in a lot of different directions, and it became harder for me to show love to each need. I found myself relying too much on the order, the structure, and the discipline of Beulah and not the love of Christ. I found myself then, and I find myself now, I will admit, ladies, that I have to ask God for extra strength in this area. God has shown me grace by reminding me the story of the sinful woman in Luke 7. She showed her love of Jesus by washing her feet with his feet with her tears. And she wiped them with her hair. She concluded by using expensive perfume to show her complete surrender by pouring out all that she had, giving all. She showed her devotion to his will. This picture is something amazing to me. First of all, for some of you who need just a little reminder of what these feet might look like, It wasn't really pretty. Now just think about this a little bit deeper. I can't help but wonder, when was the last time I was moved so deeply that I felt I should bend down and clean anything with my own tears and hair out of respect? And then continue by spending my money beyond measure to show my love. This woman shows us sold out love to the Father. And in this, as I called out to God to help show me love more, it's where he brought me to. He said, let your children see your sold out love for me, the Father, Shelley. Show them how to run into my presence each moment they have for prayer and devotion. Teach them by example. Teach them by Shelley being sold out to me only. Run into my presence when you're tempted to believe a lie. Come to me in prayer and devotion in front of your children. And as your love for me grows, your love for others will grow as well. I like to use these verses to align my love life with how God's Word shows me to love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. It doeth not behave itself unseemingly. It seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now I just want you to take a little note. I know this is small for some of you ladies, but did you notice that it said, seeketh not her own? Lord help me. Help us not to put our wishes before yours. So my family just keeps continuing to grow. I find that time during the day escapes me. I desire to spend enough time with each of my children that have been entrusted to me, and I have to pray for direction. It's during this prayer time that the Lord reminds me of where I should direct my focus. Even though my daily schedule tempts me to skip our Bible lesson because we're behind, I'm tempted to skip over this lesson or that one because I'm sure their Sunday school teacher has taught them that one, right? I know that they've gone over it somewhere. But God's Word teaches me this. Talk about Jesus in your homes. Therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. I must teach Jesus in my house. Now, I'm just going to take a little break here. My daughter said, Mom, this picture does not match what you're talking about. But I'm trying to show you that even at the table, wherever you're at, talk about Jesus. This is, I think, all of us. I think all of us are in this picture. And she said, I just skipped the whole time frame. And anyway, but there we are. And you got to do it all the time. I must teach Jesus in my house. I must not believe that the church or someone else will take this task over for me. I must take time to help those I mother memorize Scripture and hide it in their hearts. I must tell them the stories of the Bible and discuss the words of our Father in my home and to those I mother every chance I get. In our family, car rides have become a place that just, we fall apart. Somebody's touching me. James hit me. I don't want to share this seat. We have a 15-passenger van, you know, and they cannot find enough room. Mom, Jace is getting in my space. It became quite a struggle to focus on driving and keeping everybody loving each other. And so We use this time to worship our Father. We turn the praise music up and we focus on Him rather than who is bothering us. It works really well. No one talks unless you're praising Jesus. I urge you to continue to talk about Jesus outside of your home. While you're busy with errands or playing at the park or having conversations with other women, talk about Jesus. This extends your mothering call to those around you, and someone somewhere will even hear about the Savior possibly for the first time just by your conversation you're having. Well, with my family, we might be here for a little while. We're almost done. We're almost done. With a family of eight now to take care of, things are beginning to get a little sticky in our day-to-day. Someone seems to always be crying or fighting, and I am going to tell you, ladies, that Harold stole my story. He's already told you this, but evidently God wanted y'all to hear it two times. So I'm reminded of the story of Susanna Wesley, who was the famous preacher's mother, John Wesley. It makes me giggle when I remember how the story goes. So Susanna, she actually had 19 children, but only 10 survived through infancy. And in order to have her alone time with her Savior, she would just pull her apron over her head. And it just makes me giggle because I can understand. You know, but what was so cool is that her children knew exactly in that moment when she pulled that apron over her head that Mama's praying. It's serious business. Don't mess with her. So teach your children, what it's like, you know, the respectiveness of being in God's throne room. And then God was so grateful as I, you know, sometimes and just hard trying to find time, he was so faithful to teach me this next truth. He said, "Shelly, you got to keep things in perspective." Now, I don't know what it is with the ropes here either. You think we all had like some kind of meeting and said, "All right, we're all going to talk about ropes and we're going to talk about Miss Wesley and this is the agenda." But it wasn't. Like this all, God just all brought it together. But anyway, I'm going to use my rope. And some of you might have already seen this description before, but I thought it was really cool. So this is going to help us keep our perspective. I want you to imagine that this rope goes along the wall in this room, and it just keeps wrapping, and it fills the entire room up to the top, and it goes out the door, and it goes out of this building. It does this in every room of this building. It goes out of this building in every room in the United States, in the whole entire world. It does the same thing in every building. Every office, every home, everywhere we got, okay? It goes on and on forever. This rope is eternity, okay? So I want you to imagine that this rope is eternity, and then I want you to imagine that this little dot right here, none of y'all are going to be able to see it, but it's there. I'm showing you right here. That little dot right there, that's here. That's now, okay? Now, for some of us, you might get 100 years. But for most of us, we're talking 75, 85 years, give or take some. And look at this rope, ladies. It goes on and on and on and on. You don't have a long time to be a godly and wise mother. You can endure this. You can do it. He's going to give you strength. He's going to give you joy. He's going to give you wisdom if you seek Him. It's just a short time. Okay, so let me get myself back together here. Currently, we have 7 children. My oldest is 17. She's with us today, and she's been in the bookstore working. Some of you may have seen her. The Lord has blessed us. We have 4 boys and 3 girls. And I've just recently learned a really great truth from God's Word. I was reading in the book of Job, and honestly, I was really sure that there was nothing left for me to learn from this book. It's so silly how we come up with this stuff. I can't believe I missed this for such a long time, but isn't God so good to to just keep teaching us and teaching us as we come to his feet. We learn in the beginning of Job that he was perfect, he was upright, and he feared God. This description, I just hadn't paid enough attention to before. So my ears are tuned in to what Job did to get such an introduction into the Word of God. In my mind, so many things could have been said about Job to prove the point that he was perfect and he was upright and he was fearful of the Lord. But in verse 4, the scripture begins to tell the story of the relationship Job had with his children. So I immediately began to think, I just wouldn't have gone to Job for parenting advice. But, you know, maybe suffering, something along those lines. But I realized that in Job 4, we find that his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone to his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." And so thus Job did continually. Now, ladies, we know that it is our own hearts that are judged when we sin. But Job was very clever in how he reminded his children that they should search themselves to see if there be any sin that lay in their hearts. After the days his children spent feasting together, Job would rise early so that possible sin, we're just talking about possible sin here, would not have time to linger long. And at his altar, along with each of his children, he would search himself and teach them repentance by example. As they watched and joined in as Job offered the sacrifice and prayers, it allowed each child to search themselves, humble their hearts, and it reminded them of the death that we all deserve, yet is covered by the blood. As he did this regularly, it taught the children the serious work that we must do to be clean before God. It's been laid on my heart to remember in my mothering to show repentance. By coming to the Father in front of others and being willing to clean our hearts, it allows the doors of freedom to be opened broader. What an awesome blessing given to us when we are wiped clean from our sins. And sometimes we are only reminded of those sins or even convicted of those sins when we hear of another pouring out their heart before the Father. Remember Job and take time to mother by showing others repentance. All right, I want to close, ladies, by asking you women of God to persevere for what may seem impossible. Let us unite together by believing God that we will be victorious in raising up the next generation for Christ. Women, don't forget your calling to mother. Don't forget to rely on his strength. And women, don't forget to pour Jesus onto the children of this earth. You are called to mother this nation. Let us pray. Father, you have promised us strength. You've promised us joy. You've promised us enduring. We just humbly lay our children and our women that we're trying to come alongside of at your feet, Lord. God, we just pray that you would just show us your strength mightily, Lord. We believe that you can do it. We believe that your word is true. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do in this nation and with our children, Lord, and that you're going to have these mothers raise them up godly. We want to give you all the honor, all the praise, all the glory. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for who you are in each one of our lives, Lord. We thank you for the speakers who have just given us more wisdom to take home and to glean from and get at your feet with, Lord. We thank you for teaching us. I just thank you for each one of these mothers that's in this room, whether it be, like I said, a natural-born mother by the simple definition, or whether it be a mother who's coming alongside of another woman. Lord, I pray that you would give them guidance. I pray that they would hear your voice and that you would make an impression on their heart. In Jesus' name I pray.